Now, President Trump tweeted this weekend that he wants undocumented immigrants to be deported immediately without getting judges or courts involved. His statement on Twitter read in part, quoting now, "We cannot allow all of these people to invade our country. When somebody comes in, we must immediately, with no judges or court cases, bring them back from where they came. Our system is a mockery to good immigration policy and law and order," end quote. While the president didn't mention due process explicitly, his call to end that guiding principle for millions of people in the United States would be a departure from previous presidents. And legal experts have raised constitutional concerns pointing to past Supreme Court rulings. The statements come in the midst of controversy over what the administration describes as a zero-tolerance policy at the U.S. border. Elise Cohen is an assistant professor of political science at UW-Sheboygan and UW-Manitowoc. Elise, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. Glad to be here.
Well, this gets complicated pretty quickly, but can you talk about the concept of due process and how it applies to people coming to the United States without official documents?
Yeah, so what we're seeing now is that this series of tweets from President Trump is coming on the heels of some of these other moves, part of a crackdown or getting tough on illegal immigration approach of his administration. So I think a lot of the shock or surprise really needs to be understood in the context of the zero tolerance policy, again, to sort of criminally prosecute all irregular entries. Second, the subsequent separation of families that we've been hearing a lot about, and that we also just saw a new executive order address last week. Some other moves, like Attorney General Sessions' move to disqualify domestic violence, gang violence from eligibility to get asylum. So I think this is sort of understood by those that oppose it as something coming on the heels of these other moves against protection for migrants, asylum seekers, maybe even, you know, tenets of democracy. And for those that support it, sort of seeing it as a broader pattern of efforts to get tough and crack down and really defend U.S. sovereignty and border defense. The due process questions are surrounding the constitutional issues of, you know, whether migrants have protections afforded to them in some of the same ways that U.S. citizens have under the Constitution. So especially the Fifth Amendment and the 14th Amendment are two provisions where we see the Constitution does say that people should not be deprived of life or liberty without due process under the law.
Does that, a lot of the objections to concerns about due process say, well, that applies to citizens, not people here illegally. Is that true?
Right. So this is where you've heard a lot of debate and discussion. Whether these constitutional provisions apply to immigrants has been settled by a lot of previous legal precedents and court rulings, because so many of those provisions in our constitutional language don't refer just to citizens, but they actually refer to persons, and there have been rulings affirming that indeed, you know, immigrants, even if they're unlawful or undocumented, they are people, they are persons. So the Fifth Amendment that I mentioned and the 14th Amendment, both often coming into the conversation on due process, not being deprived of, again, life, liberty, or property without due process under the law. It says persons in both of those constitutional provisions. So as long as you are on U.S. soil or somehow in U.S. jurisdiction, then those constitutional protections should, in theory, apply. The issue that we can see some complication come out of is in the practice of it, where we see that the immigration courts are their own separate court system that have really lacked a lot of the typical protections that regular citizens would have in the ordinary courts. And that's where we see some ambiguity over exactly what the due process protections mean when we talk about undocumented immigrants in those immigration courts.
Now, for the bulk of people who have entered, as you say, irregularly, they're in this backed-up system, what due process rights have they had in practice?
Right. So the right to have some counsel is probably the area where we see the most complexity, because this is something that the Sixth Amendment actually says, you know, a right to legal counsel for all criminal prosecutions. And now a lot of people may be familiar with the notion that if you're very poor or cannot afford counsel, you could have an attorney provided to you. Where we see some complication with that is that the courts have ruled that right to counsel is for criminal prosecutions. And a lot of times the immigration courts and something like unlawful entry has been viewed as a civil rather than a criminal type of case. And so the right to legal counsel has not really applied to those undocumented migrants in the immigration courts. What's interesting is with the new zero tolerance policy, if the administration really pursues criminal prosecution charges for all of those, there's some discussion about, well, then would that kind of bring up this idea that those undocumented migrants would have a right to legal counsel? Again, we see going back and forth some challenges because there have been rulings that make it seem like it's mostly for felonies. And if someone is crossing irregularly for the first offense, that is only a misdemeanor, not a felony. So the right to counsel is probably the one where we see the most debate.
Talking to Elise Cohen, assistant professor of political science at UW-Sheboygan and UW-Manitowoc, looking at the rights of people entering the United States illegally, and tweets from the president suggesting that there should be changes, taking away various elements of due process. And the president has talked, Elise, specifically about immigration judges. We've heard a lot of calls for hiring more immigration judges to get through a backlog. The president saying in this tweet anyway, no, not judges. He's been saying in speeches, we don't need immigration judges. This shouldn't even go to a judge. People should just be turned out without a review by a judge. Do I have that right?
Yes, and this is a really interesting move. I think, as I said at the beginning of the program, it makes sense for those that support the policy as part of a kind of crackdown, this idea that we're going to be tougher than any previous administrations have ever been. For those that are more critical of it, and especially those, I think, in the advocacy arena and sort of the immigration, human rights areas that have been studying or working in these fields, they see this as a move further away from something that has already been a problem for a long time, which is this notion that the U.S. has already been depriving a lot of the constitutional rights that should, in theory, be afforded to undocumented migrants. And we haven't been doing a good job, in part because our immigration court system is a separate court system, and those immigration judges have very few resources. It's kind of a high-stakes, high-volume court system where, the judges may have to make a decision tantamount to a death penalty case, because if the asylum seeker is sent back to the territory, they may face torture or death. And the immigration judge often has a very limited window to make that call and doesn't have the amount of resources, clerical staff, et cetera, that our normal court system has. So it has been backlogged for some time, and there have been really serious concerns, human rights and legal concerns, about what that means for people that have to go through and are sort of pushed through the system so quickly. What the administration is saying now is we want to push it through even faster. I think one of the things that's getting a lot of attention from within the immigration judges' realm is this idea that their performance evaluations will be tied to their completion of tighter deadlines. And they've even issued some, letters kind of collectively saying there's no way, we are so overwhelmed as it is, and if we are forced to make even quicker determinations on these really high-stakes asylum decisions, we will absolutely be violating the basic rights and legal protections of the system.
A concern I've seen raised, at least by some people, is that if there's no due process, no review, even by a judge, it's possible that people with some kind of legal status in the United States, whether a work visa, a student visa, maybe even a citizen, if they're apprehended under the impression that they're here illegally, they might not have a venue to prove that they have legal status here.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Rob. One of the things that the immigration judge is tasked with is, first of all, determining if that person that's come before them is a citizen. That can be more complicated than it sounds on the surface, because it can be about more than just proof of birthplace and the documentation involved in that. We also offer a sort of jus sanguinis or citizenship by blood, also there may be, you know, some parental considerations to also figure out. So, establishing whether that person is a citizen itself takes time. And when these immigration judges have already been seeing, you know, just maybe like 60 cases or something like that in a couple of hours that they have to address, the idea of pushing them to consider even more at a faster pace is what really has them feeling quite overwhelmed. We also saw under the Obama administration, actually, that when he had the Secure Communities program in 2011, that was a problem with it. We were deporting a lot of people, actually thousands of people that ended up being citizens, but we were deporting them in such a rapid manner that they sort of got lost in the shuffle. And so we were sending people out that were legally citizens.
We're talking to Elise Cohen, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW-Sheboygan and UW-Manitowoc. We're talking about President Trump's call to effectively end due process for undocumented immigrants in the United States. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the president's call for changes, reducing the role of judges in immigration cases, turning people away more quickly? Agree, disagree? What questions do you have for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about President Trump's call to effectively end due process for many undocumented immigrants. Elise Cohen is with us, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW-Sheboygan and UW-Manitowoc. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions to this and other recent incidents in the immigration debate. Do you agree or disagree with the course the president is taking? What questions do you have for our guest? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. To your calls we go. Charlie's with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. A lot of the funding for the cartels and the violence in South America, Central America, Mexico comes from the United States drug use. I was wondering if the United States drug use and its funding for all this violence changes the constitutionality or the legal arguments, because we're in fact promoting the violence from where these illegal immigrants are coming from, so to speak. Thanks so much.
Charlie, thanks for the call. Elise, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point that your caller raises. I think kind of getting at this idea of maybe some U.S. culpability or some U.S. responsibility regarding the flows of people that are coming in. We do know that a lot of the migrants along the southern and southwestern border are being driven by the high levels of war, violence, and conflict, especially in those northern triangle countries, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. And we know that something like 90% of the documented cocaine flows into the United States pass through those three northern triangle countries. And there's this really fascinating and long history of U.S. foreign policy in the region, U.S. decisions about drug interdiction and deportation that contributed to a lot of this violence. So I think the caller's point about addressing the sort of root cause of the violence has been raised by a lot of people. Can we maybe have a discussion or some more attention among lawmakers to the pull effects that we see from the demand that our citizens have for these drugs?
President Trump was asked about his thoughts on the U.S. immigration system at an Oval Office meeting yesterday with the King of Jordan. Here's some what he had to say.
We want a system where when people come in illegally, they have to go out. And a nice, simple system that works. You know, Mexico holds people for 4 hours, for 5 hours, for 2 hours, and they're gone. We have people for 4, 5, 6 years, and they never leave. So we want to have a great immigration. What we have is very simple. We want strong borders, and we want no crime.
Elise, can it be that simple?
Yeah, I think that's a really useful clip that we played, because I think the frames that are involved in this debate really reveal a lot about our partisan divisions right now in this country over the immigration issues. So I loved that we could hear some of that in the clip that you played, where President Trump is saying things like, you know, defending our sovereignty through strong borders. You mentioned at the beginning of the program his tweet from early in the week where he said that there was an immigrant invasion. So this idea of strong borders, the threat of invasion, no crime, so kind of we're going to be tough on crime. These are some of the broader themes that we see in polling data and surveys of, you know, Republicans versus Democrats, how they have sort of opposing policy values. So for Republicans and a lot of Trump supporters, he really is hitting on the values that they prioritize. For Democrats or political liberals, they may be more concerned with some of those due process issues because they fit into concepts of human rights and this idea of fairness and compassion. So some of the research on what divides Republicans and Democrats and conservatives and liberals, I think, shows us why that language matters so much and why he would use those kinds of words.
Let's go back to our callers now. Jesse is with us in Walworth. Jesse, hi.
Yeah, hello.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead, Jesse.
Yes. Well, I just want to say that having to go through the system of immigration, in the last 35, 40 years, it has changed. There's really not a problem with it other than they need more personnel to work and do all the things they need to do. The law is fine, but unfortunately, they have been using this as a political issue to do or not to do something or to say or say this or say that. But what they really need is more personnel to process everything that they have to process. Now, like I said, having gone through this system, I know that a system, the laws, and everything is fine. Now, as far as deporting people, everybody has or should have the right to have a hearing. There's many persons that have been deported, and within a month or 2 months, or even weeks, a couple weeks, they're killed.
I want to jump in, Jesse, because you gave us a lot to talk about there. First of all, he's saying he's okay, having been through the system with how it works, but not enough personnel. And we're seeing, I think, Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin saying, hey, we need more immigration judges. People talk about needing more everywhere in the system. Is he right, Elise?
Yeah, absolutely. For the immigration courts, we hear the same thing coming from the immigration judges themselves. And when they've made attempts to, you know, strike collective bargaining agreements or something like that, just how overwhelmed they are with their caseload. I saw a really interesting study the other day that said immigration judges and surveys of stress level ranked higher for how much work stress they face than even really busy hospital doctors or prison wardens. So the amount of work that's being put onto a very limited number of judges to hear so many cases in such a short window of time does get to this need for more resources. Another thing that the caller brought up was this idea that, you know, everybody has the right to have a hearing. We've seen some changes that predated the Trump administration. Something called expedited removal has been in effect for a while. What's interesting is that that's been heavily critiqued, that we already had from the late 1990s a law passed by Congress that said some people can just be sent back right away without having any hearing before an immigration judge at all. And so that's an area where we've seen a lot of calls to do reform, that we're falling out of line with international law and human rights norms because we allow for these, quote, expedited removals. So the current plan to have even more expedited removals, again, is not something that we haven't already been doing. It's something that we've been doing and we've been criticized for. So the idea is we may do it even more.
Thanks for that call, Jesse. We'll go next to Mark in Milwaukee. Mark, hi.
Hi. I am against the restrictions, and I had a question for the professor. I read an article, I think it was in the Journal yesterday, about presently the due process rights do not extend to people within a certain distance over the border into the United States, and there was some kind of a time frame restriction as well. And I was wondering if the professor could clarify that a little bit.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Elise, do you know about that?
Yeah, that's actually a really nice tie into the idea of the expedited removal. I think what your caller is referencing is the expedited removal kind of defined what the border is as being anything 100 miles from within the territorial border. And that can be either the southern border with Mexico or that can be our northern border with Canada. If the individual is apprehended within 100 miles of the border or a sort of major port of authority, or if it's something like they've been here less than 2 weeks. That was the original expedited removal law, is that for some of those people, immigration, really low-level immigration officers, could just make a call to immediately deport them without any hearing or any real due process rights to speak of. What the current administration is proposing is not only expanding the number of those expedited removals, but expanding the time frame from it has to be within 2 weeks that they were apprehended for illegally crossing, up to it can be within 2 years. So really, you know, making that time window much broader.
And very briefly, thanks, Mark, for that call. Are these things that the president can do on his own, or does Congress need to weigh in, just in our last few moments?
Yeah, that's a really great final point. I think we see about half of the really restrictionist policies on immigration have come from Congress, but we've also had really big controversial moves come from just executive orders, like orders directly from the president to detain people, like Japanese internment, for example, or Jimmy Carter banning Iranian immigration after the hostage crisis. So it's kind of a mix, and the president does have a lot of discretion.
Elise, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
That's Elise Cohen, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW-Sheboygan and UW-Manitowoc.